better and much less discombobulated. Last Sunday is kind of a blur, so I apologize. But Brian and Stephen and I have pretty much recovered from our colds, and life's back to normal, I hope. By way of announcements, the Covenant Park Annual Meeting is happening this week. Everything else I think you can read in your bulletin. Later in the month, we have responsibility for chapel services, and we'll be having our annual meeting. It's January and a little bit quiet and uneventful. If you would stand, please, and join me in the call to worship. Christ is born.
Open joy, peace, and peace are born.
God is born as a person.
Persons can be born again.
No wonder the angels sang.
Let us celebrate the birth of our Lord.
And hymn number 147 in your hymnals, O Come All Ye Faithful. Dear God, thank you that you make all things new. Thank you for all that you've allowed into our lives this past year, the good along with the hard things, which have reminded us how much we need you and rely on your presence filling us every single day. We pray for your Spirit to lead us each step of this new year. We ask that you will guide our decisions and turn our hearts to deeply desire you above all else. We ask that you will open doors needing to be opened and close the ones needing to be shut tight. We ask that you would help us release our grip on the things to which you've said no, not yet, or wait. We ask for help to pursue you first above every dream and desire that you've put within our hearts. Amen. You may be seated. Mary is going to share the scripture this morning with us.
Good morning. morning. Is this on? It is. Okay. The first reading will be found in your pew Bibles on page 606, and those are found under your benches, the red ones if you're looking for them. And our first reading is from the book of Jeremiah, a very hopeful passage about the restoration of Israel. And we'll begin in verse 7 and be going through verse 14. This is what the Lord says. Sing for joy, O Jacob. Shout for the foremost of the nations. Make your praises heard and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I bring them from the land of the north, and I gather them from the ends of the earth. Among them will be the blind and the lame, expectant mothers and women in labor. A great throng will return. They will come with weeping. They will pray as I bring them back. I will lead them beside streams of water, on a level path where they will not stumble, because I am Israel's father, and Ephraim is my firstborn son. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations. Proclaim it in the distant coastlands. He who scattered Israel will gather them and watch over his flock like a shepherd. For the Lord will ransom Jacob and redeem them from the land of those stronger than they. They will come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. They will rejoice in the bounty of the Lord, the grain, the new wine, and the oil, the young flocks and the herds. They will be like a well-watered garden, and they will sorrow no more. The maidens will dance and be glad, and young men and old men as well. I will turn their mourning into gladness. I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. I will satisfy the priests with abundance, and my people will be filled with my bounty, declares the Lord. And the second reading is found in the Gospel of John, the first chapter, and that will be page 809 of your pew Bibles. We'll be reading verses 1 through 5 and then skipping down to 10 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me, before the fullness of his grace from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the right, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. May God bless his word in our hearts.
This morning, as we prepare to collect our offering, I want to share with you a New Year's prayer that I found this week on the Covenant website. We give thanks, dear Lord, for your amazing grace and presence with us as we enter 2022. In this new year, may we hold tightly to the unwavering hope that we have in Jesus, as we think of new ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Together, let us join you in your mission to make more disciples among more populations in a more caring and just world. We do together what we cannot do alone. We are covenant. Amen. We'll call on the usher. Stand. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated. As we join together in prayer this morning, let's take a moment to focus on issues that are on our hearts. If there is anything that you'd like to share, feel free. We want to remember people who are traveling and who have returned home safely. We want to remember people who have been ill, Some among us have been hospitalized. We want to remember those people in our hearts and look for the Lord to tell us how we can help those situations, being his hands and feet.
We've got an update on Wayne's relative, Randy Humble, that's a missionary in Oaxaca, and he has an appointment, I think it's the 26th of January, at a transplant clinic in Pennsylvania where his family is.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Now it's going to be a big change. So he said they've been very upbeat about things, but the last was rather like it's really hit them.
Ah, okay. Wayne's cousin Randy. Okay. Bob?
Maybe we can pray for the people of Colorado that lost their homes and that that's moving fire.
Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have the privilege and the opportunity to come to you in prayer, not only to give thanks for your blessings, but also to make petition, to request for your hand on certain situations. And we're grateful, dear Heavenly Father, for those people that have traveled and returned home, specifically our pastor and his wife. I'm sure they had a lovely time with family this week, but they are home safe. We pray for Pastor, who's not feeling well this morning, that you will heal him, take care of that situation. We thank you that Paul Johnston, Lord, has been released from the hospital after his admission for COVID. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, for Wayne's cousin Randy, who has had a long and complicated health history and has had a kidney transplant and is needing more attention, Lord. We pray that they will come to peace with that and that their visit to Pennsylvania will be successful. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, for the people who have suffered for all kinds of natural disasters this past year, but most recently and specifically, we pray for the people in Colorado who have lost homes. I read 1,000 homes, Lord, and that is just an incredible situation, and we pray that you will be there and guide them and provide the resources that they need. Moving forward, Lord, I would share this prayer. God, thank you for helping us to make it through this difficult year. Thank you that you've carried us through the uncertainty of deep waters, through the flames of trials, and through the pain of hard losses. We are constantly aware of how much we need you, your grace, your strength, your power, working through even the toughest days. Help us to keep our focus first on you this season. Please forgive us for giving too much time and attention to other things, for looking to other people before coming to you first. Help us to reflect again on what Christmas is really about. Thank you that you came to give new life, peace, hope, and joy. Thank you that your power is made perfect in our weakness. Help us to remember that the gift of Christ Emmanuel is our greatest treasure, not just at Christmas, but for the whole year. Fill us with your joy and the peace of your spirit. Direct our hearts and minds toward you. Thank you for your reminder that both in seasons of celebration and in seasons of brokenness, you are still with us, for you never leave us. Thank you for your daily powerful presence in our lives, that we can be assured your heart is towards us and your eyes are over us and your ears are open to our prayers. Thank you that you surround us with favor as with a shield and we are safe in your care. We choose to press in close to you today and keep you first in our hearts and lives. Without you, we would surely fail. But with you, there is great hope. Thank you for your healing power. Thank you for bringing us into this new season ahead, and we look forward to all that you still have in store for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please turn in your hymnals to hymn number 187, Our Day of Joy Is Here Again. We're happy this morning to have Brad Monson with us to share both the ministry of the Mesabi Youth for Christ and something from what God has laid on his heart. So thank you, Brad, for coming.
Well, good morning. Ooh. We made it through the cold this morning. I was thinking this morning, I'm like, wow, it's January 2nd. We might have already had the coldest day of the year. Oh, man. It is good to be here. I speak to youth a lot. It's a treat to speak to adults sometimes. This is great. So first, I'm just going to start off just kind of my all the Youth for Christ updates and everything going on there, and then I'll get right into the main word this morning. So, so things are good for me. It's been 3 years since September since I came on board full-time, which it's crazy to think that, you know, over half of that basically has been COVID. I mean, it's still been good. I mean, some of it was used in good ways. Like summer of 2020, we completely redid our office space, painted pretty much every square inch of it, and I redid the hardwood floors in our gym area, which, yeah, it took like 3 full weeks of me just being very tired, but I did it. And maybe some of you haven't heard of really what we do. I use the term Youth for Christ. What we want to do is we want to bridge the gap. So we want to have, you know, our local youth over here, and we have our churches over here. We want to stand right in the middle as a bridge and say, hey, we're going to go minister to, reach out to these youth, and ultimately try to, you know, encourage them, love on them, show them Christ's love. Ultimately, if we can, you know, get them to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, and then even plug them into a church. So that's where we want to be, is right in the middle between, you know, the world and the church, essentially, and just try to really go out and get these students. Things we do offer is right now, for only one day a week on Tuesdays with our club, we're open after school for a student center. And then Tuesdays from 6 to 8, we also have our campus life club meeting, which you could call it. And we have our discussion, have some games. And really, that's kind of the main time we get to talk to students and pour into them with Christ's love, and pour into them with just talking about life and introducing how, you know, what does the Bible say about that. And really just a great time to get some of these students exposed to the Bible that they may never, other than that. This might be their only time that they even are talking about anything with the Bible or Jesus or anything. So really, you know, we want to grow our churches by filling them up with youth. And, you know, maybe sometimes what happens too is we save a youth kid and all of a sudden maybe the parents start coming to church too. So that's where we want to be. Recently, we've had our block party this fall. We had our Halloween party. We just had our Christmas party, our Merry Grinchmas party. So we had a Grinch-themed party. It was really fun. And really, that's what our simple goal is, just we want to have a greater impact on this area, greater than we ever have before, and reach more students than we ever have before. And really, it's kind of a simple model. I mean, I love the term, before they will care how much you know, they need to know how much you care. And I mean, that applies to adults too, trying to get them involved with the church, but I think it's even more so with teens, you know. They've heard about Jesus a million times. If they live in you know, the United States of America, you know, they've heard about it somehow, whether it's even how connected they are with the internet and stuff. It's just like, they've heard all that before. Yeah. And if you just take that time just to say, hey, I'm going to love you no matter what you believe. And I tell that to students all the time when they come. It's like, we're going to talk about God here sometimes, but don't you dare think you have to be here. And it really shows fruit that way. It's just, you just love them first, and, you know, ultimately, they see Christ through us, and that's where they really start seeing the love of Christ, is through our actions. And one little story I'll tell you guys is, I had a student that I've known since I started. I think he was in ninth grade, and he was going to a lot of stuff, not super often, but he'd show up to, like, the bigger events, and just super, super awesome kid. And he hadn't been to an event probably since COVID. Not even responding to my messages, trying to check in on him, whatever. Finally started getting a hold of him, I was like, how could I reach this student? Like, he's not showing up to my office. Well, you know what? How can I meet him at the school? So I said, hey, what if I came and bought you lunch sometime? Like, what's your favorite fast food place? And he goes, well, Hardee's, number 10 with a fry. I'm like, okay, found a time to go, lunch. Literally met with him for 25 minutes, and it had been so long. I didn't talk about God. I didn't talk about, you know, any of that kind of stuff. I was just checking in on him. How is he doing? And he brought it up first, because he says he had two friends that graduated last year, and he goes, "Hey, I heard you gave them like a really nice senior, you know, graduate gift with them, a nice Bible." And I said, "Yeah, we try to give every student that we know, we buy him a nice personalized Bible with their name on it, and just to say that, hey, we care. You can read it, you can not read it, but that's just keep that to know that we are praying for you." And he's like, "Yeah, that's really cool. I've gotten a couple Bibles, but I've never read them." And then he started talking about church camp, and I said, "Well, you know what? I've got a camp that seniors that just graduated can come. It's their last year." And I said, "We'll get you to camp." And that was from a burger and fries. Okay, and let him go to his class, his 1 o'clock class. That was spending $10 on a burger and fries, just checking in on him. And I guess for me, that is kind of the simplicity yet beauty of what we want to try to do, is just finding ways to just physically meet the students where they're at, show that you care, and I've seen fruit come from it. It's not always from throwing the Bible at them or you know, drag them by their ear to church. Just loving on them. And it's like, tell you what, I'm going to try to meet with that kid again. maybe even 2, 3, 4 more times before the school year is done and he graduates. And it was just yet another eye opener for me. And ultimately, you know, if they're not going to trust the church right away, I hope that maybe that student can at least maybe trust me, whether it's, you know, asking for something I can pray for or, you know, whatever it might be. It's really challenging, but I think that's kind of the focus we have is trying to start simple and kind of like what I said, you know, show them how much I care first before they try to tell them all the stuff I know. I guess no pictures today, but my wife is also full-time, my wife Bethany, and actually she and our six-month-old daughter today, she's 6 months old today, they're actually traveling with my in-laws to South Dakota to see her dad's parents. And my little Adeline is just an absolute gift. I mean, I've always loved kids and spending time with kids and what have you, but whoa, when that kid is yours and you see them, you know, day one at the hospital, like, my goodness. And one thing that hit me from that was like I said, I love kids, and of course, you know, she's towards the top of my list, but it also reminded me of, like, you know what, I still do really love these teens a lot, you know, no matter how well I know them, or if maybe I've never even met, like, gotten their name yet, like, I care about these teens. I really do. So one thing, I'll just kind of explain a little bit. Essentially, actually, it kind of reminded me of from that opening morning prayer, talking about whether it's, you know, God saying, not now, not yet, or, you know, I forget it was from that or from just my own thoughts of, like, you know, the opening of doors and all that. And I feel like that's a season that Youth for Christ is in right now, where we're in a rebuilding season for sure, obviously through COVID. But I just know that God has plans for Youth for Christ. And even something that was kind of confirmed in my heart that I was talking to some other pastor that he said unprompted, well, you know, Youth for Christ has been around a while, and I think, you know, maybe kind of the Youth for Christ of old has to die so new could be, you know, could grow and be born. And I just was like, you know, that's been kind of in my heart too. So I don't know what it's going to look like, what's going to change, what's going to happen, but I'm just trying my very best to just lean on the Lord, what he has, and just listen. So just the three ways you can get involved. One would be volunteering, whether it's our Tuesday night clubs, or, you know, if I found a ton more consistent volunteers, I could open up our student center more. I mean, I'd love to have that open, you know, after school Monday through Friday. It's just at our office. I mean, I almost got to walk here from the office, but could you right across from the public library, the office of the upstairs of the Presbyterian Church there. So volunteering is great, and I'll tell people that, you know, whatever you do, whatever you like to do, I can make a ministry out of it, okay? Whether you like to hunt or fish or knit or crochet, I could make a ministry event out of that, okay? Seriously, okay? Whether it's you know, or if we could build birdhouses, because I guarantee you half these teens over the age of 13 have probably never held a hammer in their hands in their life, okay? I can make a ministry out of it. I can connect to kids with that, okay? So challenge me, okay? Think of something you like to do, and I'll work with it. So volunteering. Second, probably the most important, I should have said first, is just prayer. Whether it's taking, we do have some prayer cards in the back, take the business card, whatever it is, and just whenever God lays this on your heart, just pray. Because if you haven't figured this out already, the more you start fighting the enemy and start working for the kingdom, the more the enemy likes to fight back. So just pray for us, pray for our new little family, and keep praying for us and our ministry. And really, I would say the most important thing is just pray for wisdom and guidance from the Lord. Because I want to be right in line every single step. I want to take where God wants me to take. Third and finally is financial partners. So we are completely fundraised independently. I had a little slide, but essentially what it showed is just a breakdown of what it would take to fully fund a staff. And you have some partners at, you know, partner at 1,000, 500, some at 250, 100, 50, 25, and 10. And really, I wanted to focus on that concept of even like the $10 or $25 a month. And I've never really like physically given amounts before. And I know it's COVID. I know finances seem to be pretty much always tight for a lot of us, right? But just, I encourage you just to ask God, like, what do you want me to give to Youth for Christ? How much do you want me to give? And then listen and obey. I'm not going to be ignorant and say that every single human being in the Iron Range is supposed to give to Youth for Christ, but maybe youth is your passion. And especially those smaller amounts, I love the term equal sacrifice but not equal gifts. Everyone has different financial situation. Everyone has different abilities. But if you just have whatever your sacrifice looks like. And then a quote by the legendary Corrie Ten Boom says, hold everything in your hands lightly, otherwise it hurts when God pries your fingers open. So, and I do have contact stuff in the back, business cards, flyers, prayer cards, all that stuff. And if you want to today, I can set you up with a recurring payment on a card with my laptop, as long as we get some sort of internet or something, okay? We can do it after service, or just please talk to me with questions. Just talk to me. So, we are going to get right into my message this morning, titled Learn by Example, Elijah. So we're going to go through a small little portion of Elijah's story, skipping around a little bit, and I really want us to look at this story and try to apply it to our own life, looking at what he did through God and maybe find some things we can take from that. So I'm going to open up in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this church body. Thank you so much for this frigid cold morning that, God, we could still worship you and dive into your word. God, I just pray that you would help me just be in tune with what you want to say to this church body this morning. Let my words be your words, Jesus. And I just pray a blessing on the rest of this service. In Jesus' name, amen. So, first off, we can start. We're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 18. And we're going to start. So, kind of just a little recap. So the Lord tells Elijah, go to King Ahab, and, you know, he's going to send rain, and we've had this huge, massive drought. I think, I forget, 2-3 years or something, just this huge, huge drought, okay? And then Elijah meets up with Obadiah and just says, like, hey, I want to go see King Ahab, and basically says, you really can't do that. He might just kill you, okay? And he does meet with him. I'll start in verse 15, if I can find it in my own Bible. Okay, so verse 15. Wait, am I in the right? Oh man. Oh, 15. Yeah, okay. Wow, I realized I took the different Bible, and now I'm getting all messed up. Oh, wait, maybe. I'm in 2 Kings. This doesn't look right at all. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Okay, here we go. Okay, so he comes right up to King Ahab. Okay, and we'll start from verse 15. But Elijah said, I swear by the Lord Almighty, in whose presence I stand, that I will present myself to King Ahab this very day. So Obadiah went to tell Ahab that Elijah had come, and Ahab went out to meet Elijah. When Ahab saw him, he exclaimed, so is it really you, you troublemaker of Israel? I have made no trouble for Israel, Elijah replied. You and your family are the troublemakers, and you have refused to obey the commands of the Lord and have worshipped the images of Baal instead. Now summon all Israel to join me at Mount Carmel, along with 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who are supported by Jezebel. So, wow. I mean, the absolute sheer boldness of Elijah here to come right up to him unannounced and pretty much telling him off. Say, you people have messed up and it's time to change. Now, I'll skip through this epic battle on Mount Carmel, right, between him and these prophets of Baal, right? They get the two altars taunting the prophets of Baal, and who ends up winning? Surprise, surprise, God wins in the end, sends the fire down, and burns up the altar. And then the rain comes. And I tell you, was not a good day for the prophets of Baal, okay? They all died. Really bad day for the prophets of Baal. So, learning by example with Elijah, be like Elijah, be strong, be courageous, and trust in the Lord. Okay? Model this. Pray powerful prayers. Pray continual prayers. Pray challenging prayers, and be bold in Christ. Because clearly, we didn't really get context of, like, specifically why this contest happened, or why this of all things was done. But clearly, Elijah knew that was the Lord's plan, and the Lord was going to win, as he always does. Trusting and believing that God is able, and maybe might not come through in the way that you thought in some challenges. Have faith and trust and know that he has the plan. And the Lord, if you know that is what the Lord wants, that is the Lord's plan, the Lord never, ever, ever fails. I would have to imagine Elijah had that exact confidence of, like, this is what the Lord has, this is what I'm supposed to do, complete confidence, talking right up to the king and saying, you guys are messing up. You people are messing up. Meet me at Mount Carmel. They had what, 1,000 opportunities to kill him through that entire event. And even you were in this massive drought, right? If you didn't remember this part, he had them pour gallons and gallons and gallons of water on his altar first. Are you kidding? I mean, I would have been a little upset if I was the prophets of Baal, right? That absolute sheer confidence in the Lord, and know that God is not going to fail. So that's that first point, is be like Elijah. Be strong and courageous, trust in the Lord's plans, and just like the battle at Mount Carmel. So we're going to skip ahead to 1 Kings 19, so just that next chapter. And I'll read it right away first. So 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 through 4. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah, "May the God strike me and even kill me, if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them." Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servants there. Then he went on alone in the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died." I thought of this first two verses is kind of the classic, you know, King Ahab gets home and Jezebel goes, "So how was work, honey? How was work today, honey?" "Not so good. not so good." Okay? So there's this contest, and his God won, and yeah, all the prophets are dead. Okay? Not a good day, right? And clearly, Jezebel gets mad. I'd have to imagine that she probably wore the pants in that relationship. Okay? And verses 3 through 4, we see Elijah's fear. Okay? He fled for his life. In that very end of verse 4, he sat down under this tree. And I think of even like Jonah, kind of the same thing, just under that tree, just so upset. I have had enough, Lord. Take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors who have already died. Well, Elijah, what happened? You just had this absolutely incredible battle. I mean, the confidence that we can only pray to have, and just being such a vessel for the Lord and so powerful and doing these mighty things. And then Jezebel hears about it. Oh, man. He is scared. Oh, boy. So, second point. Don't be like Elijah. Inconsistent faith. Okay? He goes to Ahab, talks to him, bold for Christ. Everyone wants him dead. Then Jezebel says Jezebel wants him dead. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm dead. Just kill me now, Lord. What happened? For Elijah, he could handle the 400, how many, maybe up to 1,000 people there, these prophets of Baal and King Ahab. But Jezebel was like his weakness. For some reason, this Jezebel was a chink in his armor, a weak spot, a gap in his faith. And through this morning, I'm gonna encourage you, maybe challenge you a little bit, okay? And this is possibly a little challenge for you this morning. Why are we so eager to believe in God's healing power, but fail to remember his financial provision? Someone has an illness, someone has a sickness. We are praying, believing. But for some of us, if that's the chink in our armor, we have one unexpected bill, we have one unexpected expense, and we're like Elijah, oh, Lord, oh, please, just this, take me now. I can't handle all this stress. I'm going to be out in the streets. I'm going to have to sell my house. I'm done. I'm finished. Maybe what is your, do you have a chink in your armor? Do you have an inconsistency in your faith? I would put myself in the same boat. It's a whole lot easier to believe in God's healing power than it is to believe that, you know, maybe my whatever account, my level my bank account is at, and just having that same confidence of like, it's fine. God's got it. I put myself in the same boat, people. And a little discussion that we had at a Bible study once, we were talking about America versus the third world countries. And maybe you've heard some of that too. They say, well, these people in these third world countries, they have next to nothing, and yet they're happy. And really, I think us in America, we've lacked the ability now to find our blessings, or forgetting what things are in fact blessings. We mistake God's blessings for our own things. Like maybe the cabin is a blessing, but like, oh, the house and the vehicle and the bank account, well, that's my stuff. That's my stuff. But yet these people in Africa or wherever they are, you know, they have a mud hut and maybe like an ounce of water, and they're just through the moon, right? And it's like our whether it's time, money, I don't know what else it could be, is just ours without a second thought of how God has blessed us to have what we have. And like Elijah, he, for some reason, just had this blind spot for Jezebel, where all these things could be against him, but that one instance, this one other thing, is going after him, and he clearly freaks out. That's one of my challenges this morning is look at that aftermath. Look at Jezebel and think to yourself, God, what's my Jezebel? Is there an inconsistency in my faith? Because really, church, every breath is a blessing. Every breath is a blessing. So we're going to continue right on to verse 5. I'll just read right through this. Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, "Get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead of you, or the journey ahead will be too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. But then the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah replied, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by. And a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast, the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, went out, and stood at the entrance of the cave. We'll stop right there. So essentially, I mean, the Lord dusts him off right after his freak out and goes on this long journey. I would say a journey to maybe think a little bit. 40 days and nights traveling is a long time. And the spot I want to focus on is the verses 11 through 13. Okay, there was this windstorm. There was an earthquake. There was fire. But the Lord was not in those things. The Lord was in the gentle whisper. And when I read this, I picture him in that cave, waiting for this cave, for God to come. And right at towards the end of verse 12, and after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And I read that and I think he knew that was the Lord. There wasn't some second guessing. I mean, I think for me, if I'm sitting in a cave and there's this huge windstorm and fire and an earthquake, I would maybe just wait it out a little bit. But no, he heard that gentle whisper, and he went right out to the entrance of the cave. So be like Elijah. Yes, understand God's mighty power, but also know his voice. Know his voice. And looking at it, applying to today, oh yes, the Lord is almighty, he is all-powerful, but so much of his work today is done through his word, in the gentle stillness, and in the whisper. How well would he know the Lord after all of these mighty works, and just to hear that whisper and say, that's him, walking right out. Again, almost with that same confidence he had against the prophets of Baal and King Ahab. It's just like, after this firestorm and after whatever, I think the fire was last, like, well, that's the Lord. Here he is. Let's go meet him. How intimately must he have known the Lord's voice? And as you look through the end of this, the Lord gives him gives him instruction, and he tells him to anoint the successor, Elisha. Huge stuff, right? Huge news, big changes. Basically, there's a new sheriff in town. Okay? And just last night, I was looking through this again, and I looked at how ironic was it that Elijah got so afraid, he ran away from the Lord. I could even see, in a way that he was almost still fleeing, fleeing to Mount Sinai, only for the Lord to say, yeah, it's time for you to pass on the cloak. Like he was so worried about what he was going to do and worrying about how in the world he's going to handle Jezebel, only for the Lord to say, like, okay, well, here's all you're going to do. Here's everything you're going to do. And you're also going to, you know, raise up Elisha. Oh, well, that's a little ironic for me. Okay? So for you this morning, are you too busy to hear the Lord's instruction, to hear his whisper? Are we too busy wandering our own path in the desert? Or too busy crying out to God that we can't listen? Like if we even skip backwards to verse 10, you know, I feel like that's really just him crying out to his father, right? I have zealously served the Lord, the God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you. They've torn down their altars, killed every one of our prophets. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me. And he basically says, like, you know, go to your room. Go to the cave. And he says the same thing again, right? Like, the word for word again in verse 14. And finally, the Lord tells him. It's like, if you're sitting there crying out to him and complaining and worrying, you can't hear, right? If I'm talking to one of you out loud and shouting at you, and you try to whisper and you try to whisper at me across the room, it's not going to go very well. I'm not going to hear you, right? You need to be able to hear that gentle whisper. And like we're maybe stuck in our own version of this, you know, this verses 10 and 14, kind of this same duplicate scripture here. But, you know, we're crying out to God, but we don't take that time to wait at the mountain. We don't take the time to listen, or we can't hear it above all the noise in our life. Or we simply do not know his voice. So wrapping it all up together this morning, just in this short portion of Elijah's story, what a roller coaster, right? Just in these two portions or these two chapters, he had some real highs and some real low lows. Okay? Think about it this way. In a good way, if one of the greatest prophets in Elijah has a lapse in his faith and faltered so drastically, what chance do we have? Exactly. What chance we have? We don't. We're going to mess up. We're going to falter. That's okay. Luckily, another point, we are like Elijah. We are imperfect with a mighty plan from God for our life. And personally, I got this last night too, I don't think God makes mediocre plans for anybody. I don't think God makes mediocre plans. And this is my sticking point. If you remember anything this morning, I want to spur you on and encourage you to reach higher and dig deeper with the Lord, but also to rest and be still and know that he is God. And the final point, rest in his grace. Whether you're 2 or 102, you're still learning, you're still growing, and that's okay. That's okay. Rest in his grace. If you're here this morning still trying to be perfect, still trying to have this perfect faith, tell you what, if Elijah can't do it, think about the things he saw. He saw fire come down from heaven and burn up an altar. And yet there's a woman that wants to kill him, and he goes, just kill me now. How could I possibly escape her? How could I possibly get through that situation? What chance do we have? Exactly. We're imperfect beings just like Elijah. Or you can look through the whole Old Testament with all the things that all the Israelites saw, and yet they still kept making idols, and they still kept messing up. And they still messed up. Okay? Rest in his grace. It's okay. Keep fighting. Keep trying to grow in the Lord. But please do not get bogged down when you make a mistake, or if you take some reflection after this message, you go, oh man, yeah, I've got some inconsistencies in my faith. Okay. Try to work on it. So run back through all my points. So with King Ahab and the Mount Carmel, be strong and courageous and trust in Christ just like Elijah. Seek his plans for your life and know that those plans will come through. God cannot take a loss. And then don't be like Elijah with Jezebel. What is your weakness? Do you have an inconsistency? If God can come through here, 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 and here, he can still come through here. He can come through A through Y, but oh, Z, that thing? Oh no, I'm in trouble. How could I possibly get through that? Then Mount Sinai. You understand God's mighty power? Yes, but also know his voice. The gentle whisper. He wasn't in a mighty shout. He wasn't in a scream. Powerful, booming voice. He was in the gentle whisper. The fire and the earthquake and the wind, that was his power, but it wasn't his presence. It was his power, but that gentle whisper was his presence. And lastly, you are like Elijah. You are imperfect with a mighty plan from God and rest in his grace. And we'll leave you with one challenge this morning. While you rest in God's grace, take some time to listen to what he has to say and then do what he tells you. And this morning, even on the drive here, I felt like encouraging this specifically this body and looking at, you know, you're not the biggest church in the Iron Range. I don't think that's a mystery. But if every one of your congregants started listening to the Lord and doing what he wanted you to do, whether it's in your time, in your money, or whatever else in between, you can do more than anyone else can. Because if I had time to give you guys a demonstration, so let's say that God's power, his abilities, is like the ocean, right? This vast ocean, this deepest ocean, okay? And we all have maybe some different abilities and strengths, better speakers than others, better whatever than others, okay? And you might look at me and I've got this, or you might think, like, I don't have much to offer. I've got this bottle of water, okay? Like, I'm going to help God. I'm going to pour my bottle of water into the ocean. Okay, and then and you have this high and mighty speaker guy or whoever it is. Oh, they've got this, like, 5-gallon bucket of water. Here's what I have to offer. Comparatively, there's no difference. What difference is this talented, gifted person doing for the Lord compared to what maybe the lowest of person could do? Like Moses, who was a not a public speaker. So even look at, he had a speech impediment, okay? Comparatively, that's like adding one to infinity. It's still just infinity. This church body can do more as long as you all are leading on the Lord. Okay? Certainly off script, but I feel like that's something for you, this church body, this morning. God can do much more with 10, 15, 20 people than 200 people just wandering around the desert. Okay? Be encouraged by that. Compared to what God's bringing to the table, we have nothing. You take the greatest speaker of all time, you can go Billy Graham, the first Youth for Christ staff. Billy Graham, legendary Billy Graham. Compared to God, he is nothing. Compared to God and what he brings to the table and how he can equip us, we are nothing. But don't be discouraged by that. Be encouraged by that. You just have to be willing to go and do. Rest in his grace. That's the sticking point. You are imperfect. That's okay. Rest in his grace. Let's close in prayer. Dear Father, help us to hear your voice. With the craziness in this world, God, help us to take some time to tune out the noise and truly just listen to what you have to say. Maybe that even means closing our Bible. Just listen. God, it is so easy to feel discouraged, like we aren't good enough. I'm not gifted enough. I'm not whatever enough. God, help us all to rest in your grace and know that compared to you, we are nothing. Rest in that. That we can be bold with you and know that it doesn't matter what we're bringing to the table. God, encourage every single one of us here this morning. God, help us all to know that we are enough with you. We are always going to be enough for you. And to be encouraged by this roller coaster of Elijah, that God, we can falter. It happens. We're imperfect. Help us to rest in that grace that you cover our imperfections. Thank you for this church body. God, I pray a blessing on every single person here, God. And I pray that you will do mighty things through this church, Jesus. Perhaps that they've never seen before, God. That a willing 20 is more powerful than a complacent 2,000. God, lift this body up. Encourage each and every one of these believers, Jesus. We praise your name, God. We give you glory. In honor, I pray one final blessing on this church and the pastor and wife and everyone in between, Jesus. I pray for cars to start and safe travels home, Jesus. In your mighty name we pray, amen.
My little step. Thank you, Brad, very much, both for the update from Youth for Christ and the message. My niece's husband is involved in the Brainerd Lakes Youth for Christ. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Ben has shared about how creative you have to be, and really it is about befriending and being friends. That's the bottom line to get it. A young person's attention. So thank you for that. And I certainly remember my own Youth for Christ days, which are a very long time ago. But, you know, I remember campus life and home Bible study clubs and rallies on Saturday night and the whole shebang, and very fondly, and remember details. So know that some of the things that you're doing are going to stay with those kids for 50 years. Or thereabouts. Okay, let's go ahead and stand for hymn number 179, O Thou Joyful.
Come to win us from all sin within us. Glory.
a pot of coffee downstairs if anybody is interested. And then after we have a little fellowship time, we're going to undecorate the season, take down our Christmas decorations, and prepare for the coming year. In closing, we have our blessing that we sing every Sunday. It's in the bulletin. The Lord bless you and keep you. Please join us for that. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious, gracious, gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you.